Hey there, folks. You are listening to Inside the Desert Oasis Room, episode number 64. This episode is sponsored by Tandaway Rum. Established in the Philippines in 1854, Tandaway is one of the world's largest rum producers and winner of over 170 international medals in the past four decades, including Brand of the Year in London's World Branding Awards Rum category from 2015 to 2017 and Rum Brand Champion of the World by thespiritsbusiness.com in 2015. As sponsor of the Inside the Desert Oasis Room podcast and the toast to Master Ninja Ray Buen at the legendary Tiki Tea in Los Angeles, California, Tandaway is the perfect companion to celebrate all things tiki. For more information, check out their webpage at tandawayusa.com or follow them on Facebook or Instagram at tandawayusa. This podcast is also sponsored by the Tonga Hut. Opened in 1958, the Tonga Hut in North Hollywood is LA's oldest continuously run tiki bar. With locations in both North Hollywood and Palm Springs, California, the Tonga Hut serves classic tiki cocktails in a classic tiki setting. Dine in a secret tiki hideaway or learn about rum and rum history at one of their educational seminars. And if you're up to the challenge, take the journey to join the Loyal Order of Drooling Bastards. For information on events, Rum Club, and more, go to TongaHut.com or find them on Facebook or Instagram. This podcast is also sponsored by the Royal Hawaiian. Founded in Laguna Beach, California in 1947, the Royal Hawaiian is South Orange County's premier tropical drink and dining destination. Come try their signature cocktail, the Lapu Lapu, a delicious combination of tropical fruit juices with a generous float of dark spirits. Or other island-inspired favorites like Ahi Tuna Poke or the dynamite crab-crested Mahi Mahi. Enjoy their delicious brunch or drop in for happy hour from 2:30 to 5:30 p.m. daily for drink specials and more. To make a reservation, visit RoyalHawaiianLB.com. On this episode, we talk with Greg Bansuelo. Since 1961, the Tiki Tea has been an exclusively family-owned and operated bar, and in 2015, Greg broke that tradition and became the very first bartender and employee ever to be hired there. We talk about how this came to be, his bartending background, as well as his father's bartending background, who also helped usher in the early Tiki cocktail movement, having worked at many of the now-famous Polynesian pop palaces of yesteryear, including Don the Beachcomber, the Lou Wow, the Seven Seas, and the Tahitian. As always, we hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as we did bringing it to you. This podcast is a grassroots effort and does not survive without the help of our sponsors or our listeners. So if you'd like to help, go to DesertOasisRoom.com and click on the donate button. Every donation, no matter the size, helps keep this podcast coming to you every week. Okay, here's my conversation with Greg. I hope you enjoy it.
Inside the Desert Oasis Room.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, AJ. Glad you got together, man.
It's about time.
I know.
Hey, I appreciate you doing this with me.
Oh, my pleasure, man. It's fun.
You know, there's so much that I've been wanting to talk to you about because I know that you mentioned to me in the past that you have a family that has the same kind of history in bartending with all of the tiki stuff.
Pretty much, yeah. My father, who was born in Hawaii when my grandparents came out of the Philippines, they came over to California back in like the 20s or so.
Uh-huh.
And he ended up in San Francisco, but my dad like worked at different bars and stuff like that. But he got to L.A., he worked at Don the Beachcomber for a while.
Okay.
And then he worked at the Luau, and he worked at the Seven Seas. But my favorite one was the Tahitian.
Uh-huh.
That was in Studio City. That was kind of 50s, 60s era.
So when he was working at Don's, was that in the early days too?
That was probably right a few years after it opened. I don't know. I mean, I think he knew Ray Buen from Tiki Tea there.
Okay.
And I think he also, they were, you know, all that whole Filipino crowd, it was kind of like they all kind of hung out together.
Yeah, they all stuck together.
Right.
They got each other jobs and then they all went out together. They had to travel as a group together back then too because of some of the racism that was happening in L.A. and
definitely
with the war and things like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, one of the favorite places they used to hang out, as I remember, is going to a place called the Nipa Hut,
yeah,
which is a Filipino restaurant on Alvarado,
yeah,
near 3rd. Then there was like Temple Street, Travelers Inn, Travelers, and there was a bunch of other Filipino restaurants that in an old historic Filipino town that, and then there was the community center as well. So, you know, they kind of hung out together.
Right.
And my dad worked at this one place, like I told you, the Tahitian, and well, my favorite place. That was a Studio City, a little bit off Ventura Boulevard, up a little bit of a hill, and it was beautiful. There was actually two of them, and they actually played against each other softball. Remember, as a kid, played softball together. They both had a softball team, and my dad was a bartender. He made her deed. He waited her tables. You know, he did it all. I mean,
so I bet he's got stories. Did he share any of those with you?
I remember at the Tahitian, he had my older brothers.
Yeah.
They were like, I think 19, 20 years old. They were all bussing tables there.
Oh, okay.
Just to get them extra dollars to help out at home.
Right.
And there was one day when he was waiting on Chuck Connors of the Riflemen.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that guy? And he was at some, he was bought at some blonde bimbo, and she was all kind of giggly and stuff. And my dad was serving him. And he told my dad, hey, boy, light this candle. So my father goes, okay.
I was going to
my dad.
So he called him boy.
Yeah, he called him boy, yeah. So my dad lit the candle. There you go, sir. So my dad turned around to go, you know, get something. And then Chuck Connors blew the candle out. And he goes, hey, boy, didn't I say to light this candle?
Wow.
All the meantime, this little blonde is giggling. I go,
wow.
And then my dad looked it up. He goes, okay, lit the candle one more time. And then dad turned around to go do something, to get something. And Chuck Connors blew out the candle again. And the girl was laughing and giggling. But he goes, hey, boy, didn't I say to light this candle? And my father turned around, looked at him, threw the matches, he lights yourself, you cocksucker, and walked away.
Good for him. I love it.
Yeah, that Filipino temper, but you know, I don't know. It was kind of like, yeah,
hell yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I thought that was pretty funny. I mean, yeah, I guess that goes hand in hand with the stuff that was going on back then. You know, they treated certain people like second class citizens, and you know, that's the way it was, but you know, it was bad.
Yeah.
But that was a funny story. And then, you know, he weighed on all kinds of celebrities. And he said most of the time they were nice.
Yeah.
You know, and there are some that are just jerks, you know, like Chuck Connors.
And when he went from all of these different bars, right? So he went from Don's, and then you said he was also at the Luau, and then Seven Seas?
Yeah, he went to the Seven Seas for a little bit. I think, you know, he didn't really like being in Hollywood all that much because it was kind of, you know, when you're in Hollywood, there was a lot of people causing trouble.
Yeah.
You know, especially sailors or army people that were down there all the time. And I remember they used to wear the big old suits, suits and stuff like that. They were real classy guys. And, you know, they just couldn't, you know, they would always have to, like you said, go around in packs. But, you know, he didn't like working there because you got always kind of different. It was a different era.
But when he was moving around from bar to bar, was that because of his Filipino friends? So they were, maybe one guy would go to another bar and then there'd be an opening, then they'd pull him over?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you move to another area, I mean, sometimes, hey, it's better over here. You're going to like it better over here. And I guess, you know, the reason they moved around a lot is because, you know, they like working with each other.
Yeah.
You know, they're buddies. And, you know, some places made more money than others.
Yeah.
You know, and some places you only work for tips, which is illegal, but that's the way they did it.
Yeah, well, there's still stuff that happens that's illegal, you know.
I mean,
that's just how the industry is sometimes.
Right.
But, I mean, I guess there was a network of what I'm trying to get at, right? Because, like, it's very famous that the original bartenders at Don the Beachcomber were Filipinos.
Right.
The four Filipinos. And then they followed that same path. They went from Don's, and then they went to the Luau and the Seven Seas and all of these other, you know, now famous, infamous, maybe you could say, spots, you know, back in the day. Right?
Right.
So I was just curious. I mean, he was one of those guys.
Yep.
Now, he worked also at the Dresden, right?
No, he didn't work at the Dresden. I worked at the Dresden.
Oh, you worked at the Dresden.
Yeah.
Because I thought that there was some kind of connection with Ray at the Dresden with him. That was you.
Ray was the first bartender at the Dresden when it first opened.
I knew that.
I worked at the Dresden in like early 2000.
Okay.
And my dad didn't work there. He worked at Okay, he went around. He also worked at Dollar Beach Cobra in Palm Springs as well. So
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was a lot of problems.
No, so what did he move out there? Was he living in Palm Springs?
You know, a lot of the guys who went out to Palm Springs is during that day because Palm Springs was a happening place. There was a lot of gambling out there.
Right.
And, you know, under the table. And a lot of those Filipino guys like to either play the horses or the close
Filipinos
to
love to gamble.
Oh, yeah.
They're still gambling out there with all the Indian casinos.
Right, yeah. Right. But back then, it was like, you know, I mean, everyone had their own bookie. They had their own guy. Right. They went to the bar and they placed their bets. Or I went to MacArthur Park with my dad one time so we could meet his bookie to place a few bets.
Oh, nice.
I go, who's that guy, Dad? I was a little kid. That's my accountant.
So, and your dad was a career bartender, right? That's all he did.
Actually, you know what? When he first started out, he worked farm working. Then he became a bartender. Then, you know, he did waitering. And he did, Maitre D. That was what he liked because he always got greased his palm a lot.
Okay.
The bartending was his main gig. But right in the 50s, he started working for IBM.
Oh, really?
So he got into computers. He was a pro, he used to run batches with IBM cards the way the old time they did it. Yeah, he was like a processor or one of those guys that ran the jobs.
Yeah.
And he was getting pretty good at it. So he did that. He started doing it during the day.
That was his day job.
But he also liked working in the restaurants and the bars.
Right.
You know, because he's a partier.
Yeah.
You know, and he loved to, you know, to just socialize. So I think he did both of those. I don't know when he ever slept.
Because, see, this, what I was kind of like hinting to is that I know there's a lot of Venezuelan kids.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah.
Like, how many are you guys? I only know your brother, Mike.
Well, all together with my dad and my mother, there's 11 of us.
Oh, see.
With my uncle, he's got 10.
Okay. And your dad was raising a family slinging drinks.
Right.
And there's 11 of you guys.
Right.
There's 11 mouths to feed.
Right.
That's crazy.
Well, yeah, really. They were a lot older. When they got older, they started working as well. So they all kind of chipped in. So everybody did their part. Even I did my part. When I was a kid, I was going to college. I worked at a Taco Bell to help, you know. And I also used to go out and pick grapes when I was in junior high every summer, high school. Every summer, I went to pick grapes, you know, in Delano.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Well, like I said.
So is this for like a winery or was this like.
No, this is table, table
for
grapes.
Produce, just for the grocery store.
Right. Table grapes, Revere's, Thompson's, you know, all the stuff that you get from the market to eat off the table.
Yeah.
And, you know. A lot of Filipinos, they did farm work before they started getting the restaurant business.
Right, right.
And my dad picked pineapples in Hawaii, so, you know, that was the thing. That was always the fallback job. If nothing else was going on, you went out and did farm work.
Okay.
And my thing was, I was born in Delano, and I knew the area, and I would go and, you know, work with my brother-in-law, who was a contractor.
Okay.
And, you know, bring home the money to, you know, pay for, you know, household stuff. And, you know, that's what we did.
Yeah,
I remember quitting that stuff and start working at liquor stores and things like that, too, you know, as filling up the refrigerators, you know, stocking the shelves, you know. It was a lot easier than picking grapes.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, one of the things that I find interesting is, and I know we're talking about your dad right now, but I want to talk about you, too.
Okay.
So it's almost like you're following his footsteps because, you know, you said that he was in IBM, right?
Yeah.
And I know that you and I have talked about this before, that you were in telecom before.
Right, right.
And you were doing, so you were also in kind of a technology kind of role.
Right.
And then now you're bartending at the Tiki T.
Yeah. Well, you know, telecom kind of dried out. I'm sure you know about that.
Well, yeah. I got laid off almost 2 years ago.
Right. So I was in sales and we had our own, working for this business group called CTI, which is a...
Yeah.
And... you know, when everything started getting cheaper, I couldn't make any more money because I was commission-based. But I also kept I was working at Club TG's.
Right.
Like on the weekend.
Right.
To compensate for the money I wasn't able to make telecom. And when, you know, telecom just dried up, couldn't make any more money.
Now, when I met you, I don't even remember how long it was. It was at the TKT just as on this side of the bar.
Right.
Right. And, lots of nights I'd get drunk with you and we'd have these giggle fits and we'd do stupid selfies and stuff like a bunch of little schoolgirls.
Right.
And you were working at TG at the time.
Right.
And I believe that was your full-time job.
Right.
And I did go in there before to see you. I think I only caught you in there once. There were a couple times where I walked in there and I asked for Greg, and some other guy would walk up and he'd say, "Yeah, I'm Greg."
Oh, that's Greg McCall. He's a tall guy.
Right. Tall like, Greg, yeah. And I was like, you're not Greg. Not the Greg that I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And I'd be with your brother, and he'd be like stupid drunk, and he'd be like, "Who told me that he was working tonight?" And then we'd try to track you down, and you say, "No, I'm off tonight." So, you know, it's kind of interesting to hear what happened to TG's, because it actually went through this phase where it almost got reopened, right?
Well, what happened is when the owner died, Betty, she's a really good lady. She's kind of hard, but you know, a lot of people didn't like her because she was so hard. But she passed away. Her common-law husband took it over, but she had some, you know, she didn't leave a will, so there's a lot of probate problems. And one of the nephews was supposed to get it, but she didn't stipulate that, because so it went to the probate, and he just kind of said didn't want to do it. So for almost a year and a half, they tried to, they finally settled it. They're going to sell the bar, sell the houses that she owned, and all the properties that she owned. He would keep the house or whatever. And the guys that own the shortstop ended up buying Club TG's.
Okay.
So they're going to take over full-time first of the year.
Oh, okay. So it is actually in motion now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, because I hadn't heard about it in months.
Oh, yeah.
So I know that there was a few people that had it on their radar that they wanted to try to pick it up.
Yeah, I know that a couple of people, I talked to a couple of people, like Mo, she wanted
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
But, she, you know, like I said, there was like a lot of people that wanted that place.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess the guys that got the deal were known for, you know, doing this with different bars. So they were the better candidates, I think, you know, for doing that.
Okay.
But I'm looking forward to it. I mean, they redid the parking lot. They're starting to do other stuff from what I understand. So that's something that, you know, I'm looking forward to.
Okay. Now, I want to talk about how you ended up as a bartender at Tiki T.
Well, I started going there on a regular basis in 2001. And, you know, just hanging out, going out. I'd leave the Dresden. When I was working at the Dresden, walk over, you know, do my drinks and, you know, come home and just do that for a long time. And then, you know, I did different changes. I used to joke with Mike Jr. and go, "Hey, Mike, you know, whenever I need a bartender," he would say, "Yeah, you'd be the one, Greg.
Right.
You're the first one I'm going to talk to." And we joked about it. I didn't think anything was ever going to happen.
Yeah.
And then, you know, about, 3 years ago, he goes, "Hey, Greg,
has it been 3 years already?"
Yeah, it's going to be 3 years in June.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, okay, so I have a couple questions now.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm just going to spit them out right now. You can answer them as we talk. But one of them is, it always intrigues me when there's a guy who's a bartender, and he's a career bartender, that's what he does for a living, that when he's off work, he just goes and drinks at another bar.
Right.
So that's one question I have. It's like, you know, is that because the drinks are different? Because, you know, like you could make drinks where you work, right? But okay, and I guess it's also just to get away from your workplace. So that's one of the questions I have. Another question that I have is, how different is it bartending from TG's to Tiki T? And I know that it's completely different because I've been to TG's before, but I'd like to get your perspective on that. And one more question is, how different is it now? How do you see the Tiki T now, as once you were a customer and now you're an employee?
Okay, the first question is the...
So you bartend all day long, and then at the end of the day, you walk over to another bar.
Well, sometimes you do it for social reasons.
Okay.
And you also do it to see what the other guy's doing, learn. You can pick up learning. Plus, it's like a camaraderie with the bartenders.
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, I call it the brotherhood.
Oh, yeah, there is a brother.
Yeah, and, you know, I always told this one guy, that Greg, that I worked at TG's, he goes, "Man, I had to explain to him," because he went to a bartending school. He didn't know about it either. And I told him, you know, "I got to tell you, you know about the brotherhood, right?" He goes, "There's a brotherhood?" I go, "Yeah." And every time we see each other, "Hey, Greg, the brotherhood."
Right,
so that's
right,
a
right,
thing
right,
with
right.
us now. And, you know, and it's also, you know, they kind of, once you get to know different bartenders, you kind of network.
Yeah.
You know, and you always kind of keep your feet wet. You see, like, oh, there's another opportunity over there that may be you know, grass baby breeder, probably it won't be, whatever. But you always keep that in mind when you sow different seeds. And also socialize. You know, I think it's more social than anything.
Okay.
But it's just to see other opportunities if they're there, to socialize and to, you know, learn other things that are going on. Because you got to keep them up. If you work at one bar, they're not always, other bars are doing different things.
Yeah.
So if you go to another bar, you got to go, hey, what's that drink all about?
Yeah.
People come to my bar and say, can you make this? I go, I don't know what's in that, do you know? Or whatever. So I learn how to make newer drinks. So that's the
When you were working at the Dresden, were you ever tempted to try to figure out some of the drinks at the Tiki T to make as a bartender at the Dresden?
No.
No, you weren't at all?
No, because...
How about for yourself at home?
I don't drink at home.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of like, I'm a social drinker. I go out and I drink. I mean, every now and then it's rare that I have alcohol in the house unless somebody gives me a bottle or something.
Okay.
Like I got a bottle of Tipperary Irish whiskey out there that... probably won't ever get open.
right. But I mean, like, you don't care to maybe one day you feel like having a certain drink, like, say, from the Tiki T. You know, I feel like having a raised mistake right now.
Right.
And it's a Sunday afternoon or something.
You know, you can't make those drinks here. Yeah. I don't care what anybody says. You know, you could probably reverse engineer it to the closest you can.
Yeah.
Like, raised mistake, people have tried, can't do it.
So many people have.
Yeah.
I have. Jeff Barry has.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one gets it right. I mean, like, some get close, but yeah.
Right. So that's the thing. So you really can't make, I mean, even Scorpion, that's just my favorite cocktail at Tiki T. Their mix is so different from any other Scorpion I've tasted. Mm-hmm. And I like it better. I prefer it than any place else, even Smuggler's or, you know, Tonka Hut. And they, their mix is different. And I don't even know it because they don't tell me.
Oh, yeah. I know that you don't know. And we'll get to that because I want to talk to you about that experience of, you know, when you transitioned in as a bartender. But we'll get to that in a minute. What about how it was different from TG's? So I guess my second question was, you know, how different is it bartending at Tiki T versus
TG's? When you make it a standard cocktail, like, you know, vodka soda, gin and tonic, whatever. That makes it really easy. Put the ice in, put the gin in, or whatever liquor it is, and you put the soda or mix in, which is basically mostly, you know, Coke or 7-Up or orange juice. And those are easy to make. And then you're just popping beers. Every now and then you'll get a person that drinks a martini, which, you know, it's not a hard thing to do if you do it right. You know, I make hundreds of martinis at the Dresden, so I know how to do that. Then there's, you know, the different aspects of cocktails that people come in and want to make. It's just basically ice, you know, alcohol and mix. That's it.
Right.
Now, TG's, there's so many different, you know, ingredients in most of the drinks that, you know, it takes a while for you to get know the recipes.
Do they have their own drinks there?
At
TG?
No, they're just standard cocktails.
Standard cocktails,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And yeah, that's what I thought. What was the clientele like there?
Neighborhood. You know, local people. Sometimes we've got an influx of people from different areas, you know, mm-hmm. that are visiting from other, you know, like people come from New York, visit relatives, you know, mainly local people, you know, people that just hung out in the neighborhood, a lot of locals, a lot of people moved into that area too. So that's why you know, it's getting busier and busier. But that place has never had a problem with business. It's been there since 1945.
Yeah. Well, you know, the past couple times that I went in there, though, it was pretty slow.
Yeah, well, that's the kind of bar it is. It's dead, and then bam, it just
then it gets busy.
Busy as heck. And, you know, like on a Thursday, Friday night, anytime after 7 o'clock, you know, you're running.
Yeah.
And those are most of the times when I was working.
Yeah.
And that would go up until midnight, then it would die down again. Other places, it just never stops, like Tiki T. It's a theme bar, basically, where, you're going to find the guys there at noon when you open up at Tea Club TG's drinking beer, having a Bloody Mary, and then you have the happy hour crowd, and then you have the late crowd just like watching the game, that kind of thing. So it's kind of semi-sports bar as well. But that versus Tiki T, Tiki T is just, you know, tropical drinks. It's world famous for, you know, they're what they do. So, and the drinks are more complicated.
This episode is brought to you in part by Steadfast Pomade. Steadfast Pomade is a strong-holding, medium-bodied, water-based styling product for men and women, which leaves your hair looking slick, neat, and shiny with a clean, fresh scent. Its unique formula allows you to easily restyle your hair throughout the day and washes out with ease. Steadfast Pomade is American-made and veteran-owned. Available in original and anchor hold. Get yours today at steadfastpomade.com. Tame the waves and keep it steadfast. This episode is also sponsored by the Tiki Tea. Founded in 1961, the Tiki Tea is a family-owned and operated tropical drink bar practicing the lost art of exotic cocktail mixing. Come try their house specialty, the Ray's Mistake, a delicious concoction of botanic liqueurs, passion fruit, gin, and rum for only $6 on Wednesdays until 9 p.m. The Tiki Tea is located at 4427 Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood, California. For more information, check out their website, tiki-ti.com. The Tiki Tea, Ground Zero for tropical drinks.
So you had obviously had to make an adjustment because you actually had to follow specific recipes for the bar itself.
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's a learning curve. It took me a good 2 months to get like 50, 60 drinks down. Yeah. You know, just doing them, the most popular drinks. I got most of them down, except, you know, there's a few that we don't make all the time that, you know, I have to look up. And that was the thing that what we did is we sat down and we went down to the drink list, me and Mikey, and we went over to Tex to have lunch. He goes, took the drink first on the list. He goes, okay, what's in that one? And then he told me, and I wrote it down. Okay, what's in this one? He told me, I wrote it down. It took us 3.5 hours to do that.
Wow.
And then I took him home with, you know, all my chicken scratches.
Right.
Got a file card, put them all down on the cards.
Right.
And put them in, you know, alphabetical order, and that's the way I did it.
Right.
And that's how I got the gist of most of the recipes. Oh, okay. I see the comparison between the two.
So you made the note cards.
Right.
So I thought that they put all those on note cards for you and for you to refer to.
No. They were like, they had Ray's book.
Yeah, the black book.
The black book.
Yeah.
Which I never got to see.
Well, you saw the book.
I saw it.
You just never got to see the recipes.
Right.
I'm the same way. So I got to see the book. I even got to hold the book.
Okay.
Believe it or not. But Senior never let me turn it past the title page.
Right.
So all I got to see was the title page.
Which is okay.
I'm okay with that because, you know, I'm not one of these guys that needs to know the secret.
Right.
If there's a secret about anything, whether it's some new bar that's opening or some new mug that... some mug collaboration or some drink recipe. If I'm not supposed to know, I would rather not.
Right.
Because it's going to get me in trouble.
Exactly. You know?
So, so I'm okay with not knowing. And I didn't need to know. But, you know, when we first saw that note card box, right, people were like, oh, shit. There's the recipes, right? So everybody was kind of like, hey, what do you think? You think that if I offered him $200 that he would open it up for me? Or do you think that there's all that kind of stuff going around, right? And my first thought was, wow, they trusted Greg with this, their family secrets. But I quickly learned that you still don't know what's in a lot of the drinks because of the secret mixes.
Well, I know what's in the drinks. I know what the mixes are. I just don't know what's in the mixes.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly, yeah.
Because you can't make the mixes, so you really just can't make the drink outside of the bar.
Exactly, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
You just know what mixes to use.
Right.
It's just like the old days of Don's, like 3/4 ounce of bottle B and 1/2 ounce of bottle C. And But even still, that still had to be an interesting thing that when you got behind the bar and you started seeing some of the recipes, even though you don't know what the mixes are, you had to have thought, oh, that's all that's in that drink?
Yeah. Well, you know, I got to tell you, there are some simple drinks, and then there are ones that have like 11, 12 ingredients.
Right. Like a Puka Punch.
Yeah, like a Puka Punch. And, you know, I got that one down.
Okay.
And
it's 16 ingredients, right? That's even like, you know.
But here's the thing. Nobody orders between the sheets.
Uh-huh.
I think I made that drink maybe since I've been there. 4 times.
Oh, really?
So I have to look that one up.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's another one that...
But I heard that's a nasty drink, right?
You know, I don't care for it, but you know, that's something that I'm not going to say.
That's one of the ones that when people say, what's one of the you know, yuckier drinks on the menu, for lack of a better term, That one comes up a lot.
Mine comes up in my mind is Swamp Color. Swamp Water.
Swamp Water. I haven't had that one.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's an acquired taste, I guess. People like certain types of drinks. I've met people that love that drink.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of weird. So who knows?
What's your favorite drink on the menu?
My favorite drink? Scorpion.
Okay.
I like the mix, the way that it comes out.
Now, is it still your favorite drink after you started working there? Has that changed?
No, it's still.
Still Scorpion.
People ask me, what's your favorite? I tell them Scorpion. And when they drink it, it's kind of interesting because you don't go, wow, that's really good. Or, hey, that's, you know, whatever. No, it's not like an effusive kind of thing. What turns out to be, they go, ooh.
Ah.
They go, wow. It's kind of subtle.
I've had the Scorpion there before, and I actually really like it.
Yeah.
But I don't remember having that reaction. I actually thought, hey, this is pretty good.
Yeah. But you're not going, hey, this is incredible. It was kind of very subtle.
Well, here's the thing about the drinks at the Tiki T. And Boris and I have talked about this. If you have a Navy Grog at the Tiki T, it tastes like a Navy Grog.
Right.
But it still tastes like a Tiki T drink. Every drink there has a fingerprint.
Right.
So, and the Scorpion was that way. I remember, like, you know, I think we were on a crawl where we were drinking Scorpions, because when I do these crawls with Boris, we theme them, right? So we'll do an old-fashioned crawl or a Mai Tai crawl or a Navy Grog crawl. I believe it was Scorpion that day. And it tasted like a Scorpion, but it still tasted like a Tiki Tea drink.
Right.
Like it has that fingerprint. What is that?
You know, I think it's because of the, maybe there's a combination of the drinks that have the same kind of ingredients.
Yeah, the commonality of that
you can, you know, actually say, okay, that's the Tiki Tea drink because they have this certain combination that goes with everything else.
Right.
There's a base to it. Not with all the drinks, but with a good portion of the drinks.
Right.
You know, and I can't really give you any, like, pinpoint it exactly, and I know what you're saying, but, you know, like, because I don't know what's in the mixes, so I can't really say, hey, that's what it is.
Right.
But, yeah, I know what you're saying. And there's a similarity or a commonality with the drinks because of that, you know, that core base. I think that's what it is. I could be wrong. I don't know. I just say I try to make the drink as best as I can. I always check with people when they don't like it.
Right.
If they don't like it, you know, I'll make them a new one. Because when they ask me to suggest something... You know,
I know what you're getting at, man. You can call me out. It's all good.
No, I wasn't even bring that up. No, but I will tell you, you're lucky you're still alive.
So we should tell the listeners, listeners, this story because so that they know what we're laughing about.
Yeah.
So like when you first started working there, I ordered a sweet tart.
Right.
And it didn't taste the way that I normally am accustomed to.
Right.
Right. And so, I don't know how I worded it. I just thought, no, this doesn't taste right. And then I gave it back to you.
Right.
And I said, this doesn't taste right. And then we started arguing.
I go, what's wrong with that? He goes, well, it's not sweet. It's kind of tart. I go, well, it's called a sweet tart.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I was like, Greg, I've ordered this drink 100 times. I know what this drink tastes like.
Yeah, you said 1,000 times.
1,000 times. I know what this drink tastes like. And then you pulled out the index card.
Right.
And then you started reading the index card. And then you said, no. It is quarter ounce of simple. See, and then you held the index card to me, right? So of course I got quiet and I was reading the index card, and that's when Junior walks over and he says, all right. He puts your hand down, like you put your arm down slowly to put the card away, right? But then the argument ensued, and then you made it again. But you made it exactly the same.
Exactly.
And I was like, no, this is not right.
I did on purpose, too.
Oh, you did? I didn't know that.
And why said, so you can say this is better. But you didn't. That blew my point.
And then I think we handed it over to Mike.
I told Mike Senior, I go, will you make this guy a drink? He doesn't like the way I make it. Then we had to talk about this. You said you like your drinks a little bit sweeter.
Right.
And I go, okay, why did you just say that in the first place?
Well, yeah, this is funny. When you say, hey, Greg, could you make this a little bit sweeter? Well, you're right.
I can do that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, well, and that's true. I do like my drinks sweeter, and I appreciate that you remember that, because when I get my Ray's mistakes, I like to have you make them because you put a little bit extra of that mix, right? And when I would have Mikey do that, and I'd say, you know, I'd like a Ray's mistake. Could you add a little bit extra mix or a little bit extra syrup? he always thought that it was a joke, you know, because there was a time, you know, Fireman Frank, every time Mikey would make him a drink, Fireman Frank would take a sip and he'd say, "Tastes a little syrupy, Mike."
They're just screwing with him.
So Mike probably thought that I was doing the same thing. But I was like, no, I actually like it a little bit sweeter.
Right. You know? Well, I understood that now.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think what it was is that I was kind of nervous. Because that was like my first day.
It was your first day.
My first day.
And it was one of your first drinks.
Exactly.
Or probably your first drink.
And the people, everybody.
So I'm sorry, man. I should have been easier on you.
That's totally okay. We're over that now. But the thing is, I remember walking away. What a dick.
What a
dick, man.
you can say
that on my first day.
You can say it. You know, it's not the first time I've been called that.
But it was kind of like, you know, I was kind of like a little bit overwhelmed because everybody walks in at the same time on a Wednesday. And I'm looking at it, wow. Okay, I can handle this, but, you know, I also got, okay, I'm going to be working on the drinks and all that. I know I'm going to be a little slower. I know this and that. But the thing is, I wanted to do it right. And that was my main thing.
So this leads into my third question, which was, what was it like transitioning as a bartender there?
Well, I have a certain work ethic or something I take it personally.
Okay.
I want to do my best. I want to be able to make sure everything's okay, perfect, you know. I always put the napkin out, whatever. I learned the basic rules of bartending. And, you know, when I want to, I take it personally because when I make somebody a drink, I want them to like it.
Yeah.
You know.
Of course.
I want
when I cook for my kids.
Right.
I want my kids to love whatever it is that I cook.
And because I don't want to have to, how would you put it? I don't want to do it wrong. I mean, I just.
Yeah,
really
and you
like
want
it.
To feel good about what you made. I mean, you want them to be wowed. You want them to say, "Hey, Greg, this is really good."
Right.
Yeah. I know that feeling.
I'm the same way with my cooking. You know, like if I cook and someone says, "Oh, yeah, it's okay." I go, "What?
Right.
How was your problem?"
Right? I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. Like with my kids. And check out, listen to this pressure, right? So my kids they're a product of my first marriage.
Right.
From my first wife. And she's since been remarried. I've since been remarried, right? Not that there's any competition or anything, but my first wife is married to a guy that owns two Thai restaurants.
Uh-huh.
And he's a really fucking excellent cook, right? And as a matter of fact, I've known that guy since I was probably 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So I've eaten at his restaurants many times. I still do eat at his restaurant because, you know, we all get along. And every once in a while, I crave his food. And so I'll go to one of his restaurants and I'll eat his food. And he's always very gracious to me. And he always, you know, sometimes he makes me something that's off menu. And it's always really good. And I'm not that kind of a cook.
Right.
I'm like, I cobble this together and I cobble that. I'm the same kind of bartender. Right? So, and I don't profess to be some kind of mixologist. I don't profess to be a chef. Right?
Right.
I know how to make the things that I like. I know how to make some of the things that my kids like. But shit, man, I've got that kind of to compete with. Right.
Right. Well, you know, there's a lot. I know there's always somebody else is always better or there's mm-hmm. somebody, you know, that can do it, you know, another way. I kind of aspire to, like, if someone could teach me something that I could do better, I'll learn from them. But if I see somebody trying to just, you know, give me a hard time, just to give me a hard time, I'll just say, you know what, you know what the hell you're talking about. And I'll tell them straight. I have no more filters as I get older. And sometimes, you know, people just annoy me.
Hey, yeah, man, I'm the same way.
And when they do, they just, you know, okay, fine, you know.
So along that line, when you started working at Tiki T, did your bartending change?
You know what, a little bit. I just because I work with my friends and, you know, I have to keep up a certain image. It's a different image than when I used to be before. My image at TG's was to make sure everything was under control for my boss.
Uh-huh.
She wanted me to run it strict, wanted me not, you know, to have any drunks in there, kick them out, make sure things were clean, you know, run it, you know, almost like a Gestapo kind of guy.
Right.
You know, which, you know, I didn't mind. I mean, I loved to clean. I used to clean the bathrooms. I used to go and, you know, I did everything. But when I came over to Tiki T, you know, it was a different kind of thing. It was more of a friendly attitude. There was more of aloha spirit. There was more of, you know, the regulars, I knew them all. So, you know, that was easier for me to transition there because of that. Even though they they kind of raised me when I first came in.
Oh man, everybody gave you hell.
Oh yeah, I mean.
I remember the phone started ringing and Augie yells out, "Hey Greg, answer the phone."
Exactly. You know, I wanted to say, "Hey Augie,
shut the fuck up."
Yeah, I do it now, but
right.
But you know, the transition was good, and Mikey was very supportive. Mike Cedar, yeah, both very supportive. Especially Mikey, because you know we were friends. We used to play golf together. Yeah. We hung out together. You know, before we got married, and you know we were buds. So you know, and matter of fact, his ex girlfriend says, "You spend more time with Greg than you do with me."
Oh, that's funny.
And, I go, "Well, there's no reason for that." But anyway, we'll get into it. Sorry, Mikey. Anyway, you know, I don't know. I think all in all, right now, I feel comfortable, but I still feel the same way. That if I'm going to make a drink with somebody, I'm going to make it the way I want them to like. Well, I want them to like it. I've got a lot of different people that hang out on my side. A lot of different people I've met that you know, kind of you know, like the way I make their drinks, so they come over to me. You know, the same with Mike. People like the way he makes drinks.
Yeah.
You know, so it may be the same recipe, but, you know, bartenders have a little flair.
I've said that to other people.
Uh-huh.
I've said that, you know, you can take a recipe and give it to four different guys, and every time that, whatever it is, whether it's a drink or a dish, it will taste different from person to person because even if they follow the recipe, everyone has their own little flair or their own little touch that changes it.
Right. And I could disprove that fact to a certain degree, maybe 7 out of 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
I could make a drink. Mikey could make a drink. And you put it down there. If we twist it around, you won't know which one it is.
Okay.
Okay. I did that with a customer.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And he said, "I like the way he makes it better." I go, "Okay, well, let's test that point. What exactly about his drink do you like better?" He said, "Oh, I know, I can't put my finger on it." So I said, "Okay, I'll tell you what. He's going to make you a drink. I'm going to make you a drink. We're going to put it in front of you. We'll see. I want to know because I just want to know.
Yeah.
I want to see what you think." So we sat there. I go, "You turn around. We're not going to let you know who made it."
Yeah.
Okay. So I made both the drinks.
Uh-huh.
Put them up there. Okay. He takes nice. The other one, takes the other, yeah, this one. This is what Mikey made. I go, "Okay, thank you very much."
Interesting. Now, I got to point out that when you were first, when you first started bartending there,
right,
there were a couple of drinks that you made, you know, you had the learning curve, like
right.
You said, and it wasn't on a Wednesday. I remember this was like a Friday or a Saturday night, and there were a couple of drinks that you made that Mikey was like, "No, no, no, don't send that one out."
Right.
Like, keep that one back because it was either the wrong color or what, there was something wrong with it.
Right.
What was the one that you made that was, it tasted right, but the color was wrong. It was like a green and it was supposed to be red or something like that.
Wow.
I don't remember what it was.
I don't remember.
But he said, I said, "What's this supposed to be?" And he said, "It's a blah, blah, blah." And because he pulled it back.
Right.
And then I said, "Can I taste it?" And he's like, "Yeah, you can have it," because he was going to dump it, right?
Right.
I said, "It tastes right." And then I said, "But the color is wrong." I said, "But it tastes right." And he said, "Yeah, he's just used the wrong passion fruit. You know, I guess there's like a different color."
Okay, well, there's three different types of passions there.
Yeah, there's a green, red, and a brown.
Right. The thing was, is that one time I used the right one. For some reason, it turned the wrong color. And I'm not quite sure what happened, but it tasted right. But I go,
it tasted
okay.
Right.
You know, he was watching.
And I was like, there's a standard that he wants to make sure is kept. And of course, you want to make sure that it's done right.
Right.
So there's nothing wrong with that. That's
right.
You're transitioning. But I got free drinks out of that.
Yeah.
So
right.
I was like,
so there you go.
Hey, man, send them all this way.
Hey, let me have all the Greg's mistakes. What is called Greg's mistakes?
There you go. Right. Along that line, do you have drinks that you make?
No, I don't. I mean, you know, right now, I'm kind of like trying to keep up with TPT.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not like guys that want to experiment stuff like that.
Okay.
We've done that before. We tried it with strawberry mix, trying to make a strawberry margarita or something made with strawberry puree, you know, the red stuff that
right.
You can use. I used to do that when I worked at El Torito. We used to make strawberry margaritas and mango margaritas with the different types of syrups and mixes. And we tried it with strawberry. It tasted good, but then change is hard at Tiki Tea. They want to keep things the way they are, which is good. I mean, it's almost like a Japanese culture, you know. No, if it isn't broken, we'll fix it. If you want to change something, it takes forever to get that done, right. Which is cool because, you know, you start trying to mix things up and change things, then everything gets lost in the transition and the whole theme goes out the door. You know, you keep the same things, you know, what the way they are, then, you know, and go from there. But like I said, we've got 94 drinks.
You know, I've said before, and you may have heard this on another episode, that I don't know how you memorize. Well, I know that you don't have all 94 memorized. No. I know Mikey does.
No, Mikey.
Even he doesn't?
He forgets sometimes, but, you know, he has most of them down.
94 drinks, man. I always say that if I had 94 girlfriends, I wouldn't remember all their names.
Right.
Right? So not only to remember the names of all the drinks, but then to remember all the recipes behind each one, that is unbelievable.
Right. Mikey has a really, really, really good memory. And I don't know, when we sat down that one day, I go, oh, I hope he messes this one up. I want to see. Right. He didn't mess up any of them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, that's pretty
good.
Even
the ones that people don't order that often.
Well, there was between the sheets, he did not know.
He had to look it up.
Well, he did. He asked.
Yeah.
No, we asked his dad. He goes, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then we asked Mark, but Mark knew.
Okay.
So that was the thing. We had to get it from Mark.
So he didn't have it written down?
No. It was written down somewhere.
Right, but instead of going and looking for it, he just turned to Mark.
Right.
You know what the easiest thing to do in that case is? Just take it off the menu.
You know, like, that's a management decision. I'm not part of management. And you tell people, say, hey, Greg, you guys should do this. I go, you know what? Talk to management. I am not the manager. I just work here. I'm the employee.
Right,
I was employee of the year twice in a row.
You should put your name on the wall. We should put a picture on a plaque.
Yeah.
This is employee of the year, yeah. Right? Oh, that's hilarious.
Every year. How could you get it 2 years in a row? Okay.
Yeah, with the dates under. Every year, we add another plaque with the date underneath it. Yeah, until they all stack up.
Right. Yeah, that'd be funny.
That would be funny. Anyway,
or employee of the month would even stack up even higher.
Right, yeah. Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's fun working there. It gets hectic there, you know. Sometimes, like any other job, you just don't want to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially like last Saturday. Oh, man. Were you there last Saturday?
I wasn't there Saturday.
It was so.
I was there Wednesday.
It was like having 2 days in a row. It was like at 5 o'clock. That's when the line started.
Wow.
The line usually started about
Saturdays until about 8:39
until closing.
Yeah.
It started at 5 o'clock.
Wow.
So it was crazy.
Was that because people were waiting for it to open and that, you know, like that weekend finally rolled around?
I think it was a combination. Everybody was trying to get that Parada mug that came out just recently.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not that they were, had a chance to get that. Plus, a lot of times the people found out we were open and came. It was a combination of a lot of things. Or the fact that there was going to be a last day for, you know, a week or so. I don't know. I think it all came to a head and everybody just wanted to be there that day.
Yeah.
Because Friday, it was after 9 o'clock, it died.
Yeah.
You know, we had a little bit of a rush late, but that's about it.
Wow.
But
I like those quiet nights in there.
Yeah.
It feels like home. I mean, it feels like I'm hanging out with my buddies and we're just chilling, you know, you guys making drinks and, you know, it's not this thing where I'm trying to squeeze in an order with the rest of the crowd and you know, people spilling drinks over my shoulder as they try to carry them off to their table. And,
right.
You know.
I still love it that way, too, because when I was on the other side of the bar, I loved it when it was kind of like just us.
Yeah,
I mean, we'd have fun.
That's the most fun to me.
I quit going on Friday and Saturday night because it was just impossible. I said, I'm not going on Friday and Saturday night.
But it's good for them.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, hey, you know, busy's good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm not complaining about the business. I'm just saying that sometimes, you know, like Mikey's favorite line is, Greg, got a fork?
Well, I'm done.
Yeah, stick it in me. I'm done. I go, oh, I got a forklift. He goes, oh, that's even better.
Even better. Well, before we wrap up, I have one last question for you. Who's your favorite regular?
My favorite regular is the ones that will give me shit.
That's a trick question.
I like the ones that give me shit. I love all you guys, you know, except for one. But
it's me, right?
Yeah, you know the one.
But I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I'm not going to say it either. I don't want to call him out.
Yeah.
But. You know, we do. I say this all the time.
Yeah.
I love you more and more, even though we do have a love hate relationship,
right?
So, like, that's just our brotherhood.
Yeah.
And I love Drunk Greg. I think I like Drunk Greg better than Emo Greg.
Everybody says that. I don't know what the hell.
Well, you know, because you're a lot of fun. But when we were hanging out at the Tiki Wonderland, you swore up and down that you were sober. I don't think you were sober.
I was a little buzzed.
See, I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew it because it was happy. It was all happy.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, no, honestly, I miss hanging out with you on this side of the bar.
That's what Alan John say.
Because we used to really have fun.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I even remember the night before you started, you were getting drunk. And and then you were like, it was like a Friday night.
Oh, it could have been the night before I started. It was like, I wouldn't have done that.
No. It was because you started a week early.
Right, I did.
It was like a test run. Right. And it was one of those nights. It was like a Friday night or something. And because I got drunk with you.
Yeah, because Mike said, okay, you can go now.
And I remember we did a bunch of shots.
Oh, yeah.
And then we were just having so much fun. And then Senior looked at me like, you know, he's got to work tomorrow. Like he was trying to tell me to stop, you know, drinking with you.
Uh-huh.
And then I remember you looked at him and you said, I got it, boss. I'll be here bright and early tomorrow. Everything will be fine. So, and I have pictures of that night. I should show you those. But maybe I'll use that as the promo pic for this episode.
That'd be cool.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. So,
cool.
Well, thank you for taking the time to be on the show. I appreciate our friendship. I appreciate the great drinks. I appreciate you putting up with my bullshit.
Hey, you know, that's me.
And I appreciate you making adobo for us.
Hey, well, let's go eat.
Let's go eat.
All right,
cheers.
Cool.
If you have a suggestion, question, or comment, please visit our Desert Oasis Room group page on Facebook or find us on Instagram at Polynesian Pop.